Continuing special coverage from NPR News here in Washington, NPR White House correspondent Don Gagne joins me now. Vicki O'Hara, who covers the State Department, and NPR's Alex Chadwick. Don, why don't you go first?
Well, this is a meeting that Tony Blair wanted. He needed a face-to-face with President Bush. There were concerns that he wanted to raise, though we didn't hear much about those concerns that have been widely reported in this particular news conference. But what we did see is that these two leaders stood there and they said that their cause is just and that they refused to be pinned down in any sort of a timetable for how long this will take. Those kind of questions are starting to come up because of some of the difficulty and the stiff fighting that that U.S. and British troops have encountered over the past several days. The president said that the timetable is simply to get the job done, and it's not that they're going to say weeks or months at this point. The thing that they have had some disagreement on between them has been what happens after Iraq and what role after Saddam Hussein is toppled and what role the United Nations will play, how big of a role the United Nations will play in a post-Saddam Hussein Iraq.
Vicki O'Hara, you think that's what they were talking about post-war?
Yes, I do. That and, of course, the immediate need to address the humanitarian crisis in Iraq. I thought it was interesting that Prime Minister Blair said that the United States and Britain planned will seek, or at least he may only have been speaking for himself, but said that we will seek a new UN resolution to ensure Iraq's territorial integrity and to endorse a post-conflict administration for Iraq. Yesterday, you heard Secretary of State Powell, when he was on Capitol Hill, say that we didn't take on this huge burden, meaning the war, with our coalition partners, not to be able to have a significant dominating control over how it unfolds in the future. There is a lot of opposition within the UN Security Council to any sort of endorsement of the war that's ongoing, and so that's going to be a big issue in the days ahead.
The most interesting moment, I thought, was when the two were pressed for how long they would be in this conflict in Iraq.
However long it takes to achieve our objective. And that's important for you to know, the American people to know, our allies to know, and the Iraqi people to know.
50 months.
However long it takes. That's the answer to your question, and that's what you got to know.
It's
a matter of timetable, it's a matter of victory. And the Iraqi people have got to know that, see? They got to know that they will be liberated and Saddam Hussein will be removed no matter how long it takes.
The important thing is the job will be done. There is no point in entering into a speculation of how long it takes, except to say we have been, I think, just under a week into this conflict. Now, because of the way it's reported, you've got this constant 24 hours a day media, it may seem to people that it's a lot longer than just under a week, but actually it's just under a week. And in just under a week, there is a massive amount that has already been achieved. I mean, after all, coalition forces are within 50 miles of Baghdad. The southern oil fields are secured. The west is protected from external aggression. We've got forces going into the north. Now, we will carry on until the job is done.
Well, Don, they're not obscure at all about that point.
No, they are not. And that is a message that they really do want to send. They are hoping that they get a little help, that there are uprisings among the Iraqi people, that that people in some of these towns do what they can do to overthrow Saddam Hussein. And if there is reluctance on the part of some of these groups within Iraq to not do so because they aren't sure, perhaps, that that the U.S. is going to follow through on this until it completes the job. They want to help eliminate any doubt that may be there.
And Vicki, reporters were continuing to press them on the lack of international support, although President Bush maintains there's a big coalition.
Yes, this has been sort of an ongoing debate as to how large this coalition actually is. You know, some people have said that the coalition in the first Gulf War actually was larger, especially if you look at countries that not only supported the attack against the Iraqi forces in Kuwait, but who actually participated in it, donated forces, donated planes, ships, you know, logistical support. And there's a lot of controversy about the countries that are on the coalition list that the administration is putting out now. You know, some of those countries, you know, may be saying they support the effort, but they really aren't participating in any way.
They also mentioned the Middle East, the roadmap for a Middle East peace that seemed very important to Prime Minister Blair.
Yes, one of the things that gave Prime Minister Blair a little bit of political cover, you know, in the days leading up to this war, when the U.S. and Britain were trying to get a second resolution out of the Security Council, was the fact that President Bush came out and said that he was going to pursue the roadmap. It had been on a back burner for quite a long time, for many months. And, of course, moving ahead with some sort of solution to the Mideast conflict is very, very important to Europe. And so pushing the roadmap ahead is a way of sort of trying to allay criticism of Tony Blair at home.
What happens now, Don Gagne? What's on the president's schedule?
They are going to have lunch up at Camp David. Blair just arrived last night, so it was kind of an evening and then a morning's worth of meetings. So lunch, and then Blair leaves and actually goes to the UN, as he said, to discuss the oil for food program and other things with Kofi Annan. The president will be back here at the White House later on this afternoon, and right now there's nothing else on his public schedule, and they have not told us what he's up to tomorrow, what other sorts of meetings they'll be having.
Prime Minister Blair mentioned when they were running down the list of Saddam Hussein's awfulness, mentioned executions of British prisoners, and then the reporter says to him, "Hello, executions? Why do you say executions?" He says, "Because we know they've been executed."
Right, and President Bush also referred to that as well when asked to talk about what war crimes have been committed so far. He said they are executions because they have killed unarmed soldiers, and he said even aside from the fighting right now, none of which should be a surprise, he said, because, again, these are the president's words, Saddam Hussein has tortured and brutalized his people for a long, long time. And he also said that he's not surprised that Saddam Hussein is killing his own citizens and blaming it on coalition forces.
What else are you hearing there from White House people as they talk about the progress of the war so far?
It was interesting because yesterday in that speech down at MacDill Air Force Base at Central Command down in Florida, we were told in advance of the speech that President Bush was going to talk about how things are going ahead of schedule, that there's still a long ways to go. But again, these words were in the speech, that it was progressing ahead of schedule. But the president himself decided to leave that line out. When he delivered the speech, it wasn't there, and we were later told by an aide that the president simply wanted to err on the side of caution. He was being circumspect. But it does get to the kind of delicate dance it is when they're talking about this. They do want to assure the American public that progress is being made, but they don't want people to begin to expect that it's going to be over soon, because that's when people start worrying with each setback and start wondering if the plan is a good one.
NPR's Don Gagne, thanks also to Vicky O'Hara. This is special coverage from NPR News in Washington.